Hello, everybody, and welcome to Old Geek, Young Geek, the internet's only podcast. I'm Stephen Johnson, and I'm very old.
I'm Scott Pell, and I'm not as old as Stephen Johnson.
And today we will be talking about horror games.
Yeah,
because we started talking about it. Yeah, we started talking about it last week, and we found the conversation interesting enough that we thought we'd go a little more in depth, because I am a huge horror guy and Scott is not.
Nope.
But he's changing his mind. I can feel it. So Scott, you played Amnesia recently. Tell me about playing Amnesia.
So Amnesia: The Dark Descent has widely been considered like one of the best horror games ever created, especially in recent years, because like most horror games these days are more action games with gross looking enemies, you know, like with Dead Space or Resident Evil. You know, they give you a gun and it's kind of just action oriented and etc. So I picked up Amnesia: The Dark Descent because, you know, I wanted to experience something new, and, you know, I have a tendency to collect games that are, you know, kind of considered masterpieces. So I'm like, yes, I'll add that to my collection. And so I've played it here and there, and I tried doing some Let's Play videos on YouTube just because, hey, got to get them views. But, you know, it's been a while since I played it, and I cracked it open last night, and I ended up in a place, like, early on at the beginning. Like, I just kind of loaded the game that I had, and it turned out that I was a bit further back than I remember, so I just kind of tread through like everything that I'd done before, and it was just kind of, well, boring, honestly. Like, yeah, I mean, like, Amnesia is a great game. It does a good job at creating atmosphere, and it constantly fools you into thinking that you're always in ever-present danger. However, I kind of got used to like the ebb and flow of the game. Like, perhaps it was because, like, I was playing in a room full of my roommates, the lights were on, and I was really studying, like, the mechanics of the game.
Right.
Or perhaps, you know, it was just, like, something else. I don't know. Like, perhaps it was because I've played through this section before, but as I progressed, you know, I went on to other parts and new things were introduced, but it still had the same sort of flow of, like, puzzle, scary thing, puzzle, scary thing. And, you know, it's a great game, and it really does sort of make you feel helpless, because, like, when you see a monster, you know, you have no way to fight back. You just have a lantern, and you have to rely on your wits. The interesting thing about Amnesia, and I really like this mechanic, is that you can hide in the darkness. However, hiding in the darkness drives your character insane. Also, staring at the monster, which, you know, I like to do just to make sure that he's left the room and left the area so that's safe, staring at him also drives you insane. So I'm hiding in the darkness, and I'm staring at the monster, and I'm going insane. that was awesome, because, like, the screen would warp, and it would turn red, and, like, my character couldn't move properly. I couldn't, like, you know, I lost control of him. So, like, all the, like, looking is funny and blurry, and I couldn't really focus, and it was really interesting. That was an amazing game mechanic.
It's interesting you bring that up, because does being insane in that game give you any kind of advantage or no?
No, it really, like, throws you off. It's you know, specifically to give you a disadvantage. It does not help you in any sort of way.
It sounds like it's a similar mechanic to an old school tabletop RPG that I used to play called The Call of Cthulhu. That had, along with the hit points and the things you would expect for your character, there was also a sanity meter. And as you learned more about the mythos of Lovecraft, your character went less and less, became more and more insane.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do normal stuff, but you also could recognize what things were in the Cthulhu universe if you were insane. But it was a bad deal all around, and there was no matter how much you explored, the only end result could ever possibly be would be going insane, and so it's kind of interesting. Sounds sort of similar.
Yeah, and that's the thing though, is like there were some elements that were Cthulhuian and H.P. Lovecraft-esque, but I don't know. It seemed that every time that I had gone to complete madness, there was an instant reset. It seemed, which was kind of strange. Like I would go insane, and my character would fall over and be unable to move for a little while, and then get right back up, stand straight up, and you know, I would check my vital signs, you know, check my sanity meter, everything would be cool. And that was weird. But it has some really, I mean, like there were some moments that made me legitimately uncomfortable. But because I kind of understood the mechanics and understood like what was going on, all of the spooky noises were just kind of background. I mean, they did make me feel ill at ease. I'm not trying to discredit the craft of Frictional Games and the work that they put into the Amnesia, because it's a really good game and I highly recommend it. But you know,
yeah, but you're saying on your playthrough, it didn't cast the spell that it needs to cast.
It totally didn't, and maybe it's just because like I took a while to revisit it, or maybe like I said, I was just analyzing the mechanics. I spent too much time analyzing it rather than immersing myself inside of it, because like those are two different mindsets that you're going into a video game with, you know?
Totally.
So yeah, and so like that just kind of like broke it down, and so like after here's what happened. Like I was playing with my roommates, and they were having a terrible time because they were getting all spooked out and scary, and I'm just like, okay. And then, like, my roommate mentioned something, so we took a break, and I baked cookies for everyone. True story. So, I mean, like, I needed a little bit of comfort food because I was at ease. But, yeah, so after that, I took it back to my room, turned off all the lights, put on my headphones and everything like that, and, you know, I made it a little bit further. I solved more puzzles and progressed, and, you know, there were some new things, and it was cool. And, again, I just wasn't taken under the spell by it, as you said. And I think it could have been contributing to, I don't know, like, maybe it's because I've played this game a little bit before. If I would play something like Outlast, where I haven't really gotten into it, I think it might be the same case with Outlast, where, you know, at first I'll be scared out of my wits, and then eventually I'll get used to the ebb and flow of the game and just kind of figure out how all this stuff works. And then it'll just become another game.
Right.
Of running and hiding. So
yeah, that's another issue with horror games.
Are horror games not scary for long periods of time?
Yeah, that's the thing, is like you can't maintain that kind of mood for more than, you know, a couple of hours, it seems, you know. So
yeah.
And even a horror movie are like 90 minutes, yeah. And if you pay attention to horror movie structure, the first 10 minutes usually aren't scary. I mean, there's a cold open, and then there's about 10 minutes of things that aren't scary, because you got to have contrast, and then it very slowly gets more, and it's only, you know, but video games can't move with that pace, I guess.
Not really. I mean, you can structure it so that it does have good pacing, but I think another thing is, like, the variety, I suppose, because you do have to have some sort of a new gag every time, I guess. And like I went to like different places within the castle in Amnesia, and you know, I went to the sewers. I you know did all this different stuff. Went to a morgue. There was piles of dead bodies, and it was very gross and it was very disturbing. But you know, it was just another set of rooms and another set of hallways when I really thought about it. And that's kind of the thing though, is like it's kind of like Scooby-Doo. Like it's not really a monster. It's just a man in a mask. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a matter of like letting yourself go and immersing yourself into the world that these horror games have created. One of the first horror games that I ever really played was Resident Evil 4. And it's not a very scary game in retrospect. It just did a good job of limiting your ammo resources and putting you in constant danger. But the game did keep things fresh by taking you to different areas. So you started off in the village, then you went to the castle, then you went to the island. And each one of those had like a different set of horror genre tropes that it went through. And it kept things fresh. And that was a really fresh game to begin with, because it totally like revamped Resident Evil. It was unexpected of Resident Evil, and it was unseen in most other video games of that genre. So I don't know.
See, I feel like horror games maybe part of the issue with why they don't work as well as horror movies, at least in my opinion, is that the variety thing that's necessary in a video game is not necessary in a movie.
Yeah.
And in any story, you get one for free. Like, the writer, like, gets one for free. The director, like, okay, there's vampires in the universe. Nobody ever expects the writer to explain that, because you just, as the audience, you go, okay, this is a story about vampires. But as soon as the director's like, there's vampires, oh yeah, and then there's also ghosts, the audience goes, well, wait a minute. And then, so that one costs something, and then the next one is, you can't even do. Like, you can't go, well, there's ghosts and there's vampires, but there's also werewolves.
Yeah.
Because eventually you just strain all credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why stuff like, oh, it's a haunted house, or it's ghosts, and except they're on Mars. It's like, well, wait a minute.
The suspension of disbelief is eventually broken just because you're adding in all these different things. So what if someone made like a independent game? Usually those games are pretty short. What if someone just made like a short game that was in the horror genre? I know that we talked about it a couple of episodes. I mean, like Five Nights at Freddy's, that's probably only like a 2.5 hour experience, and that's,
there you go,
that's really scary, and it keeps it to the theme. It, you know, keeps the same mechanics. It you know, it has these set rules. There's tons of random or RNG stuff, random number generator stuff that happens to keep you on your toes.
Right.
But that's a scary experience, and it keeps it within that short, concise, tight little package.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's a good example of like horror games. So can like horror be done in long format? I mean, entire novels have been written, you know, in the horror genre.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then some games work really well, like the original Silent Hill games worked really well.
Yeah. So maybe the industry has lost their touch. Maybe we're just not scared at it. Maybe we're just not scared anymore.
Yeah, it could be. That could be part of it. Another part of it, this is, I've been thinking about this, that in games, although games have characters, even if they're third-person games, you don't really think of the character as anything but you, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is something that I noticed about horror movies, and it's kind of an involved thing, but a few years ago I covered a haunted house called Blackout Haunted House. Have you heard about these things?
I know of haunted houses. Yeah.
This particular I guess company or genre of haunted house, and the idea is that like you go in and you sign a waiver when you get to the front, and you go in by yourself.
Uh-huh.
And they make it very clear to you that the actors are going to touch you.
Yep.
That, you know, that this, that, and you have a safe word.
Yeah.
So any haunted house with a safe word, and they're like, yeah, it costs $35 for a ticket, but if you use your safe word, you don't get your money back.
Right.
So, and a lot of people in the short time that I was waiting in line in the lobby, I saw two people actually use the safe word because they couldn't deal with the darkness of it. Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't find it all that scary.
Yeah.
Because there was no one to identify with, because I was in the haunted house and I knew it was fake.
Yeah.
Like I knew it wasn't real and that I wasn't in any kind of danger. So at one point they put like a burlap bag over your head,
mm-hmm.
and then they take you and they act like, you know, they're going to execute you. And so the guy's like, you know, has you on your knees and he's, you know, saying he's going to kill you. But my glasses happened to slip off.
Yeah.
And they fell in the ground, and he totally broke character. And was like, whoa, whoa, let me get those. He didn't want to break my glasses.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was nice of him and all.
Yeah.
And I honestly was much more worried about the actors. Like, I was more scared for them because I was like some of the young women in the thing were naked, which was another part of it's the extreme haunted house. Like,
yeah.
But I was like, man, these women are like naked in these almost completely dark rooms. And they don't know who I am that just came in here. You know what I mean? Like they paid $35.
Uh-huh.
So I started thinking about like, I wonder how there must be like there's gotta be people watching at every station somehow, because otherwise it would be this incredible safety hazard. But then it was also like, well, what the fuck do I know about these people that put on this haunted house?
Right.
Why do I imagine that they care about anybody's safety?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them. Right. But anyway, it wasn't that scary because there was no one to identify with. And a good horror movie, the monster is scary, but what's really scary are the people's reactions to things. So because you're identifying with the character and the character is being scared, so you're being scared for them. Whereas if there's no character except you and you are sitting in your living room playing a video game, yeah. You know nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah. So. And that's the thing is so you, I mean, it sounds like you can't identify with yourself, Stephen.
No, I can. I do. I identify with myself so completely that when I'm sitting on my couch playing a video game, I know that I'm not in any kind of danger.
Right. And that's you know what I mean? That's kind of the thing that like I kind of convinced myself of when I was playing Amnesia last night. It was there was totally like a separation because like it was all on the screen and not surrounding me. I wasn't actually in those situations.
Yeah. And, but then it's weird because then why do horror movies work? I don't know.
I don't know. To give an example of another game that I have that I played for a little bit was Eternal Darkness. And that's a game for the Nintendo GameCube, and it has a sanity meter, like your Call of Cthulhu tabletop game. And this game will kind of mess with you sort of outside of the game. Kind of like how Psycho Mantis in Metal Gear Solid can read your memory card and mess with your controller. This game, when your sanity meter is going down or completely drained, like the video feed will suddenly go to like S video, or like you know, strange things will happen. Like if you're insane, like you try and cast a magic spell, like your character will like try and cast it and then start screaming. Then his head will explode, and then like that's really awesome. And then like you know, his head explodes, and then it fades to white, and then your character is just kind of sitting there. In the hallway, like mumbling to himself, he's like, and like that's cool because it messes with the game and it messes with the player. Like, what's going on? And it really kind of makes you sort of measure that. But I guess you know, since I've only played like probably like an hour at most of that game, you know, I'm sure that would soon become just another mechanic to manage. You know, kind of like how in StarCraft I have to manage like the minerals that I have so that I can build these certain units, and I have to manage the order of all the stuff. Like in Eternal Darkness, I would have to manage, you know, my sanity. I would have to manage my health. I have to, you know, take care of all these things. And
right.
when it's so clear cut as that, you know, when it's so clear cut as like, oh, I need a med kit, or oh, I need to take 5 and just regain my sanity, like. Putting you in those situations, you know, you have control over it. Whereas, like, a horror movie or even a horror novel, you are just kind of sitting back saying, no, don't go in that room, or no, that's a terrible idea. That kind of separation, you're just watching basically, like, this train wreck of a thing happening. Because, like, we've all been there where it's like, no, you're going to die if you go in that room, or no, don't split up, that's stupid. So... I don't know, like putting, like horror games are a difficult art to master, and some of them do it very well, some of them not so much, and you know, again, like I guess you have to be in like the right mindset to play them. I'm not a huge fan of horror games, I don't really play horror games, I own a few, but only because like everyone says that they're really good, but I never touch them though, so.
Right, you hit on something kind of, vital to horror, the whole genre, is that in order for horror to work, a person has to feel scared and uncomfortable and filled with dread. And nobody really wants to feel that way.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
the job becomes much harder for the creative people behind it, because it's not like a comedy where people want to laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so like they're already on your side from the start. A lot of people go into horror movies with this idea of like, well, it's not that scary. I'm not going to be scared by it. It's not as scary as that plane that's passing over.
Yeah, totally. but I have to plug my own blog here. I have written on my blog before about the first time that I played Amnesia, and I got past like this really scary part, and then I got like the safe zone, because it does have this good wavelength where like it's really high and then it goes down really low and says, Take a deep breath. You're safe now. But it was that sort of exhilaration that I felt from escaping and surviving that terrible event, you know? So that's kind of like where the thrill of horror games comes in. But once right. you kind of get used to those, like, once you get used to that roller coaster, that wavelength of pacing, it just becomes, you know, monotonous.
Right.
So, I don't know.
What do you think, like, if, in my estimation, the worst thing a horror game can do is this. Make the main character really powerful. Like, that's the thing that horror games do, and they do it all the time because totally. Like, I can just see the board meetings. Like, you know, whoever originally pitched and designed the game did not intend for the main character to become a heavily armed killing machine.
Right.
But you know there were meetings at the development company and the publishing company that were like, well, how come he doesn't have a whole bunch of guns? Everybody likes games with a whole bunch of guns, and we want to make sure that a lot of people buy this game, so
yeah.
give him a whole bunch of guns, yeah. and then they do it.
Yeah, I totally understand that. One example of where I've experienced that is in Dead Space. Your character is literally wearing a full suit of armor. He has a really cool gun, which is specifically designed to kill these specific kinds of enemies, it seems. And yeah, like, it became very, very boring because the mindset that I have when playing video games is very tactical. You know, I go in and I analyze everything. So I'm like, all right, checking corners, I'm checking, you know, corpses, I'm making sure that I've looted everything, and make sure that I've, you know, explored all the rooms that I possibly can. I'm trying to make my shots count. And it just isn't all that scary. The only thing that I really felt was kind of disgust, just because of, like, the grotesque nature of the enemies of the Necromorphs in Dead Space. And I just got bored, again, from this horror game where I was just bored of the pacing, I was bored of the puzzle design, I was grossed out by all, like, the gore. I mean, it was basically like, look at all this disgusting stuff, and I didn't really want to, and it was so vulgar, I guess, so explicit yeah. in its display that it was just kind of pathetic in its attempt to try and gross me out.
You know what's weird is I've been so into horror movies and to some extent games for so long that I don't even notice that stuff. I only notice it, like, if somebody's, like, calling attention to it in some way, and then I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't – or I'll notice the practical effects in a movie and be like, oh, yeah, that really looked like that dude's head was getting cut off.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't bother me like it's supposed yeah. to, I guess.
And you enjoy the horror genre. You spend a
sure,
lot of time,
I love it.
You spend a lot of time in the horror genre. So things that are, you know, sort of normal and standard for these things. Which I don't think that horror should be standardized. I don't think that horror should be, you know, anything that is,
yeah.
you know, just considered normal. I think that, like, you should try and do something different and try and, like, because that's what's scary, you know? Surprise. Surprise
yeah.
is scary. And, you know, to do something different, to do something innovative within a horror genre when so much has already been done, you know, that's a difficult task. But if it's executed well and if you put in the time and effort, you really have something on your hands here. So,
right.
you know, that's what Five Nights at Freddy's did, is that, like, to go back to that, it did horror games in a way that, like, no one had really thought of before. It took something that was familiar to us, you know, like the animatronics of Chuck E. Cheese, albeit a bit creepy, but it took that, and he kind of ran with it. It was only made by one guy,
mm-hmm.
and he really went all into it and made something that was pretty special to a lot
right.
of people.
I gotta definitely check that out.
Yeah. I think that you should. I think it might even
that's
be on
a,
iPad.
That's such a good...
Oh,
is it really?
I think it might
wow.
be.
That's such a good, like, that's such a great hook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that then you circumnavigate what we were talking about how you only get one, right?
Yeah, totally.
That if your thing is like, well, they're animatronic.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can have anything being animatronic.
Yeah.
Like, I once started writing a movie where all the animals, it was like a undead movie, a zombie movie, except for about animals, not about people.
Cool.
So all the animals came back to life.
Hmm.
And we were able to do a lot of stuff where, like, we did it so that the more the more recently dead animals came back first.
Yeah.
So that was like the deer on the highway and the person whose dog just died and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then as time progressed, older animals came back. So we were able to have
an
ending.
Did you have zombie dinosaurs?
Yeah, yeah. That was the ending. That was it. It was skeleton. It was not a full zombie.
Oh.
But then also we had the like the lunch meat from the supermarket come alive. So we never finished it, but I think it will work.
That sounds cool.
It's called Roadkill.
Nice. That's
I should revisit that. I should finish that. Jeez, yeah. That was a good idea.
That sounds cool.
So, I got to check out this Five Nights at Freddy's. Okay, so it's on iOS, huh?
I think so. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that it is because it's a really simple mechanic.
I've been meaning to mess around with my Mac and get it to be able to run Windows stuff anyway. So maybe I'll do that just to.
I think it might also be like Mac compatible. I'll have to check Steam and get you some information on that. But like that's a really interesting game to sort of explore like the horror genre. Like I said, it's just a short little game, and if long-term horror seems to be something that is somewhat unattainable, then, you know, short bursts of it can work really well. That's the entire mechanic of Five Nights at Freddy's, though, is that it's all jump scares, mostly. But as I mentioned, like, it is all random, you know? It's not, like, scripted. It's not like, okay, at 12 seconds in, this guy's going to come up here so I can stop him. No, it's completely random number generated, and it's scary. It's really scary. But once you get into it, you know, you kind of understand the mechanics of it. Though I think, like, but, you know, your first time through, it's going to be a new experience. So, I don't know. Because my intake of horror games is, you know, watching YouTubers play it. Because it's that other degree of separation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not quite as scary. I still jump back a little bit, but that's how I experience most horror games. There's a lot of them that are made, surprisingly. And I think it's just because, like, it's so easy to make a jump scare. Mm-hmm. I want something, though, that lingers. I want something that is ever-present, you know? And Amnesia kind of does that with really good sound effects, really good... Because the game has excellent sound design. The game has does an excellent job of creating, you know, an atmosphere that makes you feel very uncomfortable. But all it does is just make you feel uncomfortable, not really ill at ease entirely. Because once I was walking around like in the complete darkness, and like I pulled out my lantern, like, oh, there's nothing here, whatever. You know, I knew that I was safe because I knew that there were no monsters. But you know, that was. No. Like I said, it's a tough thing to do. And I think that Amnesia does a good job of that. Like, my first time playing, like, I was scared out of my wits.
That's the exact same thing that I'm looking for in horror movies that you just described. I mean, I don't like jump scares. I don't like, I don't mind jump scares, and I don't mind, like gore and stuff like that. But what I'm really looking for are movies like The House of the Devil that came out a few years ago, which was all... have you heard of this House of the Devil movie?
Mm-mm.
It's shot exactly like a movie from the mid-80s. Like, if I put it on for you on a VHS tape and told you... They actually released it on VHS, too. Nice. If I put it on the VHS tape and told you that it had come out in 1987, you would believe it, because it was so perfectly, like, of the period.
Yeah.
And it was all build. Like, it was all just this very slow build that went on forever and ever. And then the third act with the reveal was... like 5 minutes long. It was just like, that's not what was important about this movie. What was important was this mm-hmm. long, slow build. And it's all just one character in a house. It's fantastic. Okay. If you like horror movies, you should see it.
I mean, that's
and I know you don't.
I don't, but that sounds interesting though, because like I was saying, like, that's kind of what I want from a horror experience, is just the build, because that's kind of like,
you gotta watch The Shining. Do you have patience with movies and video games and stuff? Do you like things that are slow paced?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I love things that are slow paced, and I know that's kind of a lot of people aren't that same way. Yeah. But if something is slow paced but well paced, it's mm-hmm. like my favorite thing. Yeah. So The Shining would be a movie that you should definitely see. Not that it's particularly slow paced, but some people have complained that it's slow paced.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna complain about horror fans for a moment.
Okay,
and this applies to video game horror fans and also movie horror fans. You know what the worst thing you can do is?
What's that?
Say, well, that wasn't scary. Because if you walk into a movie or a game with the idea that, well, this isn't going to be scary, I'm not scared of that.
Yeah.
Then of course it's not going to be scary.
No, not
like,
at
you
all.
You got to meet it halfway. You got to do a little bit of work.
Yeah.
And it's like people who go to see older movies, and then they can't get past the fact that the costumes and the pacing is different and the kind of dialogue is different because it was a different time.
Yeah.
So they spend the whole movie like giggling at the funny costumes. I just want to shake those people. And it's the same kind of thing, that whole like walking into an artistic experience with the idea that like, well, I'm better than the people who made this. They're not going to scare me.
Yeah, which totally.
Like, come on.
Yeah, you're not letting yourself go. And it's what I was doing last night.
And it's harder as time passes, too. It's harder.
Yeah.
As time passes, it gets harder. Things, like, lose their pop, so they can't, like, what is scary now, like somebody might have seen, what was that good one from a few years ago? The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really scary movie. Like, it's really scary, and it scared a lot of people. But in 10 years, it's going to be a lot less scary. And then in 20 years, it's going to be unrecognizably unscary.
Yeah.
Which is because people don't have enough imagination, really, to put themselves... Or they don't see enough movies. I don't know. I see so many movies that I don't... No movies look any more or less fake to me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I see current movies, and they look as fake as movies from the 1920s to me, because, like, I just did it. It's all fake, so...
Yeah.
You know, once you start thinking, this looks fake, then everything looks fake, because everything is fake.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. For sure.
So, like, I don't know where this particular rant is going, but when people think that they're cooler than the thing that they're seeing,
yeah,
they're almost always the opposite is true.
Yeah, totally.
Like, they're not sophisticated at all because they're trying to outsmart something that, yeah, anybody can outsmart it.
Yeah.
Like, you'd say, well, oh, this horror novel isn't scary at all. I mean, I started reading it from the last page and then I wasn't scared. It's like, well, oh, so like, you're not meeting it. You're not doing your part for
the
art.
Exactly. That's the thing. So, that's the thing about like these experiences of art. You know, it's art is something that both the creator and the viewer experience together, because the artist will create their work of art, and then it's up to the audience members to really interpret it and experience it. If you're trying to outsmart and like remove yourself from the experience, like I was last night with Amnesia, where I'm just like, okay, I understand the mechanics now. This isn't all that scary. But if I were to let myself go, get immersed into the lore and into the world of Amnesia, I probably would be a little bit more ill at ease. And the thing I was about to say earlier about like the whole like slow burn build-up thing, that's kind of how H.P. Lovecraft did his thing. There was never really like a denouement. There was never really like a conflict resolution. It was just...
Totally.
It was just, you know, bam, Cthulhu. However, there was a huge build-up to that, you know, where this guy is just being driven insane by the voices in his head, by the things that are happening around him. That's what you kind of need to do with horror to properly scare someone, because that build up, you know, where it's like, I'm going crazy. It's not a monster. It's myself that is causing myself to be in danger. It's that sort of, you know,
it's interesting that you brought up Lovecraft because I feel like Lovecraft in particular is not served very well by video games.
No, not at all.
And it's not served well by movies. Like,
and that's
it
the thing.
Just doesn't work.
We want that execution. We want Cthulhu so bad, but we fail to recognize that there's, you know, build up to Cthulhu, that there's a build up to like the end of the world, you know?
And Lovecraft's, the power of Lovecraft comes partially from the things that he doesn't write.
Yeah.
You know, and he makes it very clear. He says that all the time. It's like one of the cliches, like, oh, I can't possibly describe it to you because you would go mad.
Exactly.
But like, it's true. He like that whole thing. I'm going to nerd out about Lovecraft for a little bit.
Do
if
it.
You don't mind.
Do it.
That whole thing with the, in, like the verbiage that he uses, the incredibly complicated words and structures of these incredibly long sentences with all these different clauses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's great because over time it gives you the impression that what he's doing is he cannot describe the horror here, but he's trying so hard. So he has to use all these tortured constructions of words and like all these incredibly purple phrases because there is no right phrase to describe this thing, because it's so horrible that you can't have a phrase. Like, the phrase itself would make you crazy. That's how horrible it is.
Yeah.
So that's why Lovecraft works so well in the written, and why it doesn't work in movies and even less in games, is because once you can look at Cthulhu, and once you think about what Cthulhu actually is, and you have your video game character taking a look at him, and, you know, it's a big whistling octopus.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, yes, all right, it's not that scary. Like, once you see the monster, that's always like, eh.
Yeah.
Wasn't as scary as the one in my mind. That Cthulhu was really scary. This one that I'm looking at, eh.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what, to bring it back to Amnesia, that's kind of like what Amnesia does, is it plays on your mind so much. It lets your imagination become the monster, you know? And so when the monster is finally revealed, it's kind of like, and then you see it a few more times, like, eh. And I really don't know how to do it. Yeah, I really don't know how to
diminishing returns, man.
Yeah, I just really don't know how to put that into words, but it's just kind of like, oh, it's really scary, and I'm shocked and disgusted by the grotesque monster that is before me, and then the more that I see it, it's just like, hey, buddy, how's it going?
Yeah, and then, like, in horror games, too, that they often have, like, boss battles and stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, why? Yeah. No, that's not scary. I'm forced to fight.
Like, boss battles, and then there's, like, the monster's, like, collar is lighting up, and you have to shoot at the collar, and you're like, well, you might as well just say this monster's fake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like a movie from the 50s where you can see the strings on the flying saucers.
Totally. Most definitely.
So like, if, you know, once you, I don't know, suspending disbelief is a really hard thing to do.
No,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
And it's particularly hard in horror movies and horror games because people don't like being scared.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know. I feel like immersion can be done really well in video games. It just takes a lot of effort. And again, going in with the mindset of, I'm not scared, this isn't going to be scary, or, you know, trying to analyze the game mechanics and, you know, trying to analyze, like, the flow and stuff, rather than just experiencing it, you know, that there's a different mindset when it comes to playing games and watching movies, you know. Yeah. It's tough.
Hey, how about this? Like, speaking of subgenres of video games, maybe next week we should talk about comedy games.
Oh, that's tough.
Because that's another genre that, like, yeah, comedy is very popular.
Yeah.
But
it's difficult to execute in video games. So, hey.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Like, why is it easy in movies and hard in video games?
Well, let's talk about that next week.
We will. And I will think of some reasons why this is so. And I'm going to play Five Nights at Freddy's. And I'm going to check out the South Park game because everybody tells me it's the funniest video game ever. And I've never actually played it. So next week, I will.
All right.
Yep. I make a promise to you, the internet.
Well, goodbye, internet. I hope you enjoyed this episode. The 10th episode, Steven. We made it.
Oh, my God. It's 10. It's the big X.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah, man.
We did it.
Oh, man, Trey, look up at the sky.
Hey, internet. If you liked today's episode, check us out on Twitter at Old and Young Geek. Or send us an email at oldgeekyounggeek@gmail.com.
Break it down. I was working late on my half Torah when I heard a knock on my bedroom door. I opened it up, and to my surprise, there was a werewolf standing there with glowing gold eyes.
He says, tomorrow, my son, you will be a man. Tonight's the time to join the Wolfen Clan. Tomorrow you will stand at the beamer and pray. Tonight, let's gaze at the moon and bathe. Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolf. Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
All right, that was great, Trey. Okay, it's over. That's a wrap.
Oh. The next day, what happened? The Toma didn't teach.
Oh,
I got up in front of everyone to give my little speech. Then my teeth turned into fangs and my nails into claws. And I nearly dropped the Torah when my hands turned into paws. I growled and I roared and my rabbi did as well. It was a rocking werewolf zoo at Temple Beth Emanuel.
Hey, man, where'd you learn all these Jewish words?
My manager, Harvey Lemmings. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
I just don't think the idea of the song can sustain itself for that long. It seems a little sweaty now, so
this whole premise is sweaty. We had a
reception at the Larchmont Country Club. They served a real nice brisket and an 8-foot party sub. I danced with my cousins, I got money from my folks. We had a lot of fun making circumcision jokes. Then I remembered the premise of my song. I was at a nice reception, but the werewolf part was gone. So we pulled ourselves together and we're wolfmen again. Just in time for monster fight to begin.
No.
The country club employees were brain-sucking pack, who had all turned into zombies and were on the attack.
No.
So we fought them and some Draculas and Frankensteins too. Cause you gotta love bar mitzvah even if you're not a
R. There's no such thing as Frankensteins.
Steins.
There's no plural of Frankenstein.
Becoming men. Men becoming wolves. Werewolf bar mitzvah. Hairy boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. I don't want this. I don't like this. This is scary. Turning into werewolves and stuff. You know? You know? I got excited when I saw a poodle on the streets the other day. You know?